reading to you from 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and with the 19th verse. Therefore, let those also who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and of course, I've been sharing Christ ever since. I've had some wonderful opportunities over the many years that I've been preaching. I was invited 5 times to speak to our top military leaders in the Pentagon building, and I was an enlisted man, but what I told them was what Jesus did for me, because, you know, there's a lot of alcoholism in the services, and so they need to know that God can change a life. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour. I just wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to have you turn with me to Philippians, the 1st chapter, and let's begin reading with the 6th verse. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Friends, the Apostle Paul, he had so much wisdom, and his biggest concern was to introduce souls to Christ, and he did exactly what he said he would do. All in total ignorance, Paul, whose name at one time was Saul of Tarsus, went about trying to destroy the local churches. He tried to stamp out Christianity because in total ignorance he thought he was doing the will of God. But after he was converted to Christ, he found that he was a stupid person. And the Lord told him, you're going to suffer for many, many things. And you remember when he had that terrible thorn in the flesh? For those of you who believe that God will always heal everybody, you know, Paul had faith, a lot more faith than you and I have, and God never healed him. He sought the Lord 3 times, and finally the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sometimes God will heal you, sometimes he won't. But it's not because he can't. Oh, no. He can heal anything or anybody, but it's not always God's will. I know there are those who teach that it is always God's will, but it's not. Well, what do you want to do with your life? Well, let's rephrase that. What does God want to do in your life? Most have hopes and dreams. Oh, my stars. You remember the little white house with a little picket fence with the roses on it? And that wonderful little wife that you was going to marry, and you're going to raise up a bunch of little children, and you're going to put a few dollars in the bank, and you're going to have some security in the end. You're going to have whatever all those things are. Well, that's a good dream, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. And I'll tell you, beloved, America is the only place that I know of that you can almost depend on. You can do it. Friends, I started a roofing business back in the 70s here in Denver, and I borrowed $1,200 to start the business, and I went and bought an old beat-up pickup that blew up on me. And I called my 3 sons in different parts of the United States. And I said, would you come and would you like to work for me? I'll teach you a trade. Yeah, Dad, sure. How much you paying? I says, $10 an hour. Well, sure, we'd be glad to come. How much work do you have? Well, I don't have any work right now, I said, but I will have. And they laughed. And I went out, and God led me to some of the most exciting things in the world. Inside of 5 years, we were grossing $1 million a year. To God be the glory and praise. Now, you say, Cecil, are you saying that everybody who becomes a Christian will get a business? I never said that. But you know why God gave me a business? Not because he thought I was the smartest in the world, but he knew that I loved to preach. He knew I was called to preach. And so what my job was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And my wife and I traveled halfway around the world telling people about Jesus. I've had radio broadcasts over many stations over the years. Is it because I'm a good preacher? Nope, not at all. It's because my heart's desire is to let people know that there's hope in this last days. See, some have plans and schemes, and some have selfish desires, and some long to help others. That's a joy of mine. Friends, you remember when over the years at Christmas time, I would ask for people for some donations so we could give Christmas baskets out. We gave Christmas baskets to hundreds and hundreds of families. And what a joy that was. You know, the Bible said, he who gives to the poor lendeth unto the Lord. Keep your hand out of the cookie jar. Help those who are helpless. You know, you don't have to give millions of dollars away. But if you see your neighbor or someone in need and you help them, God will bless you for it, believe me. Didn't he say it is more blessed to give and receive? Friends, I'd learned that from my dad and mother during the Depression. And boy, I mean, there was hungry, sorrowful people in this world. And Model A's and Model T's going from city to city, begging for work. Not begging for food, but begging for work. And they'd come out to my dad's ranch and they'd say, we'll clean the barn, we'll paint your barn, we'll do anything you want if you could just let us have some groceries. We don't want any money, we could use it, but groceries is what I need for my family. I never saw my dad turn anybody away, and I always saw the people willing to work. I'm afraid that some of these people out on the street corners help me, I'm homeless and all that. A lot of these people are mentally ill, but a lot of these people make very good money. I wouldn't want to do that, would you, Panhandle? Well, what does God want to do in your life? Think about it now. I guess a more important question is, one that hath both temporal and eternal dimensions, what is the answer to this question? And I know there's some of you tonight, you're saying, boy, you know, Cecil, I've never given much thought what God wanted for my life. I accepted his son as my savior. I went and got baptized and joined a church. And I go to Sunday school and I go to prayer meeting and I go to church. You mean there's more? Oh, beloved, you haven't touched the tip of the iceberg. God has much more to do in your life, but you're going to have to let him. So here's the question. God wants to begin a work in your life. He which has begun. This is surprising, but true. God wants to work in the lives of sinners? Sure does. You know, beloved, God does not even entrust his angels to tell people how to be saved. And by the way, you know, a lot of people don't believe in angels. Oh, yes, there is angels. There's guardian angels, too. You know, one time I was downtown, and I started to go through this intersection, and something in my eyes said, look to the left, and here come a big truck, steaming full bore. He'd have T-boned me, I'd have been killed dead or in a doornail. Don't you think the guardian angel kind of twisted my eyes so I could see that? Sure enough. Here's an amazing grace ready to work in us. See, this is opposite of what we naturally want. Don't we want to reach for the stars? We want to achieve financial success. And I want you to know, dear friends, being wealthy doesn't cut it. If you don't have Jesus, it just doesn't cut it. You know, when I was about 6 years old, there was a neighbor family up the hill. They were so poor. They were in their late 70s. They had a hack and buggy. Didn't have a car. And they lived in a little hovel that was so clean. And she'd, you know, made rugs and crocheted doilies and things like that. And one day they asked my mom if I could come up and have dinner with them. Boy, I got my little hack, and we went up there. And, Grandma Reynolds, she went in there. And what a wonderful bowl of soup. Boy, could she make homemade, and she could make applesauce. But I remember we sat down to the table that night, that day, for dinner. And Grandpa Reynolds prayed. And he thanked the Lord for the superabundant things in life that God had entrusted with them. They were poorer than Job's turkey. And I went home, and I told my mom, I said, Mama, when he prayed, he thanked the Lord for the superabundant things in life. And I said, Mama, they're poor. Oh, honey, she says, they're not poor. They're rich in faith. Oh, they love the Lord. And you know, like I say, you can be so rich that you can't handle your money, but you know what? If you don't have Jesus, which you really are, you're bankrupt. We want to climb higher. You know the old story about the corporate ladder? Ooh, you start at the bottom and you climb and you cut throats and you cheat and you chisel to get to the top only to find out you might get laid off. There's no security in these corporate corporations. The only security we have today is in Jesus. And beloved, he will not lie. Corporations will lie. See, God wants to reach down to meet the and change a sinner. That's where I was. A no-good alcoholic. And I could not understand why. I couldn't go. This is so senseless. I couldn't understand why I couldn't go in a bar, sit down and have a drink and walk out. Oh, I could not, beloved. Once I got one drink under my belt, it was all the way until I was broke or until I passed out. Oh, I'm telling you, I am so thankful to God that he saved this old drunk and give me the love and compassion in my heart to share it with other people. See, God invites you to become his child by faith. Remember, he said, as many received him, to them gave you the power to be the sons of God. He wants to start his work of reconstruction in your life right today, not next month, but this very day. You say, well, all right, Cecil, okay. What does he want for my life? First of all, he wants you to trust him as Savior. That's uno number one. Trust him as Savior. And then you ask him, or you surrender your heart and life. And beloved, the more you surrender your life to him, the more he will reveal unto your life. I know people teaching Sunday school class that don't have hardly any education, but they're tremendous teachers. Why? They surrendered their life. They opened their heart and they said, Lord, teach me that I might teach others. And maybe that's the truth. Maybe God wants you to be a Sunday school teacher, but you've never felt qualified. Maybe God is calling you to be a deacon and you don't feel qualified. Well, see, God's a qualifier. And everything you need to serve him, he'll give it to you if you'll ask him. That's right. Anything. Now, you know, like I say, I never got to go to seminary. Sure, I wanted to go, but I had too many kids. And I couldn't go to seminary. And I felt kind of cheated. In fact, the matter is my own denomination looked down their nose at me. And I suppose they still do. But, beloved, it's not because I didn't want to go. It's because I couldn't go. But what did I do? I dove into the Bible, and I studied, and I studied. And you know, I used to, every day almost of my life when I first got saved, I'd get on the phone and I'd call the deacon, or I'd call my Sunday school teacher, or I'd call my pastor. What does this mean? What does this mean? But you know, dear friends, if you run into something that's really bugging you and you can't get the answer, let me tell you what you do. You bow your head and you ask the Holy Spirit of God to reveal this truth to you and jump into the Word. He will eventually show you exactly what you need to know. See, God wants to begin a good work in your life. And he which hath begun a good work in you, God works in us, may seem good at the beginning, but beginning with making us aware of our sins. And you know, it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A lot of people, you know, my dear precious wife, you know, after I was saved, of course, I was, you know, bad. And she just never, ever, ever thought that she was a sinner. She was a good person, good moral person. Didn't cuss, drink, and smoke. And that was only three sins that she knew about. And after she saw such a tremendous change in my life, and I'm not saying that, my halo's not too tight, I quit drinking immediately. I started asking a blessing at the table. I joined the church, got baptized, and got into a training union. Study. Never realizing that someday God was going to lay a hand on me and call me to preach. And at one time I thought, maybe God, you made a mistake. Maybe you shouldn't have called me to preach. But beloved, listen, I am so glad I said yes. You know, we learn that our good works are worthless, you know. And also we learn that we have earned only death. The wages of sin is death. However, listen to this. The gift of God is eternal life. Grace brings us hope. God loves us. And you know, friends, Christ died for us. I love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And dear friends, let me tell you, down at the rescue mission last week, there was 7 or 8 men accepted Jesus. I said, that's the most beautiful scripture in the world. I said, I remember when I used to sit in these places like you did, drunk. Don't know what I was doing in there, but I was looking and didn't even know it. I was seeking the answer and didn't even know it. Well, we move from conviction to conversion. See, I was convicted that I was lost when I was 9 years old, listening in a Billy Sunday meeting in Odell, Oregon, on an Easter Sunday morning. My two brothers, my sister, myself, my mom, my dad were there, and my sister, my two brothers, and all four of us was convicted of our need, and many of us wasn't saved till years later. So a message is very important. Faith in Christ brings many good things to us. First of all, forgiveness of sin. Justification. Oh, my stars, just as if you never sinned. And he gives us the assurance of heaven. Oh, that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Oh, I tell you. The indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. You've ever heard people when you say, hey, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yeah. You speak in tongues? No. Well, I speak in the tongue that God gave me. Yeah, sure. That's no evidence that you're born again if you speak in tongues. The devil has some great counterfeiters out there. A purpose to live and the glory of God. See, God wants to perform a permanent work in your life. We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, or into the day that Jesus shall come back and rapture his church, and he will come back. And friends, that's right in the near future. Oh, I'm not going to set dates. I'd be an idiot if I did. Only God knows when Jesus has come back, but he is coming back. That's only thing left to do. And someday there's going to be a sound of an archangel, And Jesus will appear in a cloud with outstretched arms saying, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you peace. You say, well, wait a minute, Cecil. is that just for the Catholics, or is that just for the Pentecostal, or the Baptist? Hasn't got a thing to do with Baptist, Pentecostal, Muslim, Mormon, or anything else, or Seventh-day Adventist. It has to do, have you been born into the family of God? And then when you're born again, you are in the true church. There's no perfect church on this earth. Absolutely no perfect church. See, Paul was confident this good work would last for all eternity. Summarizing God's good works in believers, God began his work in verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he would become a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. And God continues his work. Let's look over here in 2, the third verse, I think it is. Yeah, third verse. Do nothing for selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Boy, that's something, isn't it? And God completes his work. Listen, friends, eternal life really is eternal life. 1 John 5:13, this is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. Let me ask you, have you sensed God being at work in your life? Have you been convicted of your sins? And have you been made aware of God's love? Oh, he loves sinners. Let me ask you, are you ready to come in faith to Christ? See, God's good works can begin in your life today. You say, well, Cecil, wait a minute. I'm not religious, and I don't even go to church. Where are you going to go when you die, beloved? You say you don't know. Well, my Bible says you can know. Now, here's what I want to ask you. If you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, you need to come to Jesus and let him do a work in your life. And here's a prayer that'll change your life if you trust him. You've got to repent. You know, you've got to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he gave his life on Calvary for your sins and mine. And here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've done to you and my family and my friends. The best way I know how now, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for money. I don't do that. I don't care where you go to church, but I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Give me a call. 303-471-8534. Yeah. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Bowe. I hope we said something would encourage you. Oh, listen, dear friends, if you've given your heart to Jesus, please let me talk to you. I won't jump on you, and I won't ask you for any money. Don't worry about that. And I don't care where you go to church, but, oh, friends, listen. I am truly concerned where you spend eternity. So, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.